I'm sorry, the last one I went over. Hello, cows, those who are busy following the tail end of somebody else because you're just kind of going with the flow. Don't do that. This is Quasi Independent Most Analyst. I'm Jay Nemro. But I'm working hard not to be a count. I hope you are too. Don't be a follower. You don't have to kill yourself being a leader particularly. Although we need more of those. Just be yourself. And you'll all of a sudden find that you're leading some people who like you. And I hope you lead the right way. I'm still talking about Godsend. We've gotten to the point where we have been talking about how the convocation kind of traps these ladies and keeps them in. And Melisende is worried about that this is going to happen to her, that those powerful things that happen, the whole motherly instinct is one way they do it, the whole sisterly belonging to something and feeling security from it is another. So she's trying to get away from that. Of course, she's been trained up until now to kind of have the attitude that there's no strength except in sisterhood. You know, first you're beholden to your mother, and you love your mother, and she provides for you and gives you everything that you need. And then after that, it becomes this thing where you become a mate, where you're beholden to a matron. And she kind of performs the same function, although you're also learning and growing and starting to rise in your own right. Maybe, depending on what part of the social structure you're in. Melisende is destined to become a breeder, just like her mother. She's being set up to become kind of a laboratory rat for testing on new breeding techniques. And she's going to be paired up with this guy named Davor. She has no knowledge of this yet. There's all these rituals in this form, how you become a lady. So she's about ready to enter the first step, which is where she receives her first consort. Convocation chooses your consort, and the consort they've chosen for her is Davor, who is a, for lack of a better word, stud. He comes from a line of men who produce a lot of girls, not very many boys. They're hoping that he's lightning that's going to strike again. Melisende is going to a beautiful, exactly what the convocation was. Beautiful, strong women that don't have boys. They're kind of hoping at some point here along the line that they're going to breed some kind of a woman that just doesn't have boys, which is what they're kind of really after. And Davor is going to be the key to this. So we're going to keep kind of... So they're going to experiment here. Well, Melisende has no interest in having any of this done to her. She knows about this stuff because of the book she's read. And she's going to be... For lack of a better word, she's going to run away. She's worried, though. Everything in the convocation talks about sisterhood, about how evil and wicked and terrible the world can be outside. She's heard, the book has told her that there's a place where the good people that were following God, went to, far away, called Waykeep, up in the mountains, on the mainland, far away. And she's hoping to get there, but she needs help. She's not that bold. She's not that totally out of line. She just has this knowledge. She's still kind of timid, which is the way the convocation likes her status of ladies to be. It's on the timid side. They don't want women that stand up for their rights. And Melisende is she kind of needs that to do this. So her first task is to have a consort given to her. The whole point is that by the time that she becomes a lady, she's already pregnant with her first child. And hopefully, not too long after she becomes a lady, she'll bear a daughter, and that daughter will be used as a pawn if needed to keep her in line. It will also keep her in line if she doesn't have a daughter, if they tell her that her child was sickly. Because now she's all worried. Because she wants to please all these people. They try to comfort her, make her feel better. All these emotional things are used to kind of keep women just totally, totally beholden to the convocation. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. Women feel really inferior if they don't give birth to strong, healthy children. And it's just kind of this thing. And so they'll use it either way. They'll use the mother-child bond to control her. They'll use her feelings of inadequacy if she has a sickly child to kind of make her nuzzle up to the convocation. Oh, it's just horrible. It's almost like a vortex and once you're in it. There's almost no way to escape. That's exactly the way they like it. And Melisandre kind of knows, at least in her mind, she knows that this is going to happen. She's worried, which is justified, I think, that even though she knows that this is happening to her, that she won't have the strength to combat it. She'll be sucked into the convocation. And her desire just to feel wanted and needed and part of something is going to overcome her. And she doesn't want it to. So she plans on escaping. She's hoping that she gets the right kind of consort that he can help her feel a little bit more courageous as she tries to leave. And so we're going to learn a whole lot about this. Anyway, the big time, the big moment arrives. And all of these gatherings of the convocation, now this isn't a particularly big one, or it normally is, because Melisandre's mother isn't a very big person. You know, this is kind of like the whole debutante coming out party thing. And Melisandre's mom isn't anybody of any repute. This is kind of small. And this is, and our first exposure to kind of system, how it all works. This whole thing about sisterhood. The convocation is a very strict, very, very, regimented order. There has to be some fluidity in it because you're always trying to shake out those who don't have the stuff, you know? Although the queen has been rather a hereditary thing, you know, there's a queen and it tends to descend to her daughter, of which she typically only has one daughter. In the very top level of the convocation, there are ladies who are very good, are very devious, are very much what the convocation needs to have to survive. Kind of women who have lots of secrets and who hold them and can have lots of power because they have to control thousands of women under them. And they have to be good at all these traits that a leader of the convocation must have to keep everything running. Now, unfortunately, having those traits also means you're a threat to those around you. People who are wanting to rise up in the ranks of the convocation, they're pretty dastardly, nasty, cat-like, and those who are even higher have to find ways to play these girls off of each other. And so there's always just this constant, you know, there's there's a storm brewing under the sisterhood. You know, everybody comes together and they kiss each other's cheek, and there's a general feeling of loving and caring and warm, fuzzy hug, tight hug type things. But the farther up you go, there's this undercurrent of cattiness. You know, of always trying to get one up on the other one. So at these times when you come together for these little ceremonies, coming out parties, when a woman becomes a lady, these kind of things, it's always an opportunity to kind of reestablish the order, and things can shuffle. Now, Melisandre's older sister Corin is her mother's matron. She's risen to that level. Everybody in the household is very excited about this. Melisandre's mother is so pleased that her oldest daughter has risen up in the ranks to be her leader, and she's proud, just so happy. Although she's kind of a sickly, you could call her an old woman, she's probably 40, but just constantly having children born to you every 9 months. It takes its toll. She's not given a lot of breaks, because this is her purpose in life. They give her elixirs to try to keep her strength up, but she's obviously coming to the end. Anyway, they plan this dinner party because it's almost time to kind of celebrate Corin and to kind of get ready for Melisandre coming out, and Mom's getting ready to pop. So it happens, and the elixir given to Mom it kills her. Only Melisandre knows that. But, you know, there's this whole thing about elixirs, yada yada yada. And the actual midwife, who's a mousy character, she's only one step above a breeder, she has no clue. The matron, who just happens to be Corin, gives her the elixir, and Corin has essentially written the death sentence for her own mother and killed her. And Melisandre figures this out. And it just is one more nail in the coffin of Melisandre just saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with any of this stuff. These people are just evil. Anyway, this has all happened. Melisandre's mom has just passed away. And there's a whole ritual around that to make everybody feel better about all the kids have been farmed out to other families, and life goes on because it's the way the convocation works. This is an accepted part of life, especially for a breeder. Well, Melisandre is going to pretty much take over for her mother in her death. So she gets to stay in her home. She doesn't have to worry about moving her stuff, which was her first thing. Corin said, no, you're going to keep this house because you're going to be a breeder, and you're going to take over where your mom was. And so Melisandre is still making her plans, getting ready to escape. Of course, all these things are starting to weigh on her. Now she's got this house, and it's her home. And of course, there's always ties to home, even just to the place. There's ties to her mother. And all these things are used for the complication to kind of suck her in, to keep her in this whole circumstance. And so she's fighting all these conflicting things. Well, the day of her coming out is here. She's dressed in a beautiful dress. She looks great. Everybody just fawns around her. The first part of this whole thing has to do with everybody around Melisandre, you know, matrons, the matrons of matrons, midwives, yada yada yada. everybody who's going to have a stake in her life and everybody around them are there. So to a certain degree, this is led up by the matron who is just over Corin. All of the women who are under her are there. So, that's kind of the way it is. Now, even though the convocation is very regimented, it's very, very important that a woman, especially a lower level lady, feel a sense of kinship, a sense of sisterhood with a matron. Whoever they have is a matron. But there's also a certain amount of power going on. Now there's, you know, Melisinda went to school with girls, and she had her friends, and her coming out party is kind of when she takes her place in the whole grand scheme of things, or at least begins to take her place in the grand scheme of things. She doesn't make a decision now. She makes a decision when she becomes a lady. But she's allowed to place herself under the, she's going to be a breeder, midwife, who's actually not really a matron, but somebody who watches out for her. She places herself under a matron that she wants to be a part of, and it may be because she likes that matron, or it might be because a lot of her friends are also under that matron, because this is kind of your group. This is kind of your clutch of friends that you're going to keep. You tend to have get-togethers with these women. And they're usually the same age as you, 16, 17, 18-ish. And they're usually your school friends from school, the girls that you've always been with, kind of your running mate. Sometimes it's an opportunity for one of your schoolmates to become a matron in their own right, and you'll go in under them, because that just kind of feels natural for you. But this is all decisions that are made. This first coming out is just kind of an introduction to this whole concept, and a certain amount of shuffling happens, and it can go up pretty far. A matron can change her loyalties. And that's probably making, that's actually a word that might have a bigger impact in the higher levels of a convocation. Lower down, it really doesn't matter. It's not a question of loyalty, it's a question of comfort and where you're going to fit in. That's the most important thing in convocation, is you have to find some place to fit in. That's how it works. And the convocation wants you to find a place where you fit in, because that keeps you working for the convocation. If you feel like an outsider, if you feel like there's no place where you can be, well, then you're going to be kind of rebellious. And that's one thing the convocation cannot stand, is rebellion. It doesn't happen. You don't do that. So, this coming out party is where we first see this. There's some shuffling around. Some of the matrons might choose to go under another higher matron who they feel more comfortable with. The higher up you go, the more it becomes a power thing, and that you might make these shifts in order to gain prestige or power and stuff like that. This is where new matrons are made. This is where new things happen, is that these little things. Is that these little parties. This is a small party. There will be a much bigger party when Melisinda becomes a lady. That's when the big one happens. By and large, everybody all the way up, usually, it depends on what your status is. Typically, the queen will attend, or she'll send a representative to the installation of a lady. And it becomes quite large. And it kind of depends. There might be a political upheaval coming on in high place, which actually is what happens in Moa Sinda's investment, endowment, whatever, when she becomes a lady. I think we'll call it investment. I don't like the endowment because it sounds like something I do in my church. I don't want to compare it to something that's basically evil. An investment, where she is invested as a lady. And she receives all these presents and gifts. All these parties involve lots and lots of gifts being given to the person getting stuff. And that's why it's called investment. Oh, our time's nearly up again. Oh, golly. So anyway, we have all these shufflings going on. It happens at Moa Sinda. There's a little bit of shuffling. She is not really a part of it. She only sees it. And it's just another indication that it's coming up. Second half of this gathering, she receives her consort. Of course, it's Davor. Now, the expectation is after this party that she takes him home and she beds him. She gets pregnant by him almost immediately. But, you know, it isn't a matter of love or anything else. It's a matter of this is what's expected. It's all somewhat of a thing. They're only given private time when it's time for private time. Otherwise, there's a whole ritual around it. You know, the matron does some things. The person that's going to be your midwife. This is where this stuff all happens. Whoever, it's usually done by your mother, but since Melissa's mother has just died, it's going to be done by her older sister, Corin, who's going to take the place of her mom. Anyway, so let's stop here. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenolith. I'm Jay Nemro, the podcast that fits on a floppy, typically. Have a great day. We're going to talk about this some more in upcoming podcasts. Don't be a cow.